You know, I actually had one person stay standing. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I felt like you got a lot of guts. No. You know, but sometimes they come to get saved even before the meeting. You know, I like it when people come to get healed at a meeting. Years ago, I had a little 5-year-old girl, and now she's 45, so that's 40 years ago. And I remember when I walked into a meeting, and I was, you know, that's back when we all wore suits and ties every time, you know. And so she pulled on my coat jacket when I walked in, and she looked at me. She said, "I'm supposed to be healed tonight." And I looked down, and she's the cutest little thing, but she had extremely a club foot with special shoe. So I said, "Honey, do you want me to pray for you now?" She said, "No, I'll tell you when." I married a girl like that. I said, "Yes, ma'am." So I said, "You just tell me. I don't care. You can interrupt me anytime you want to." And so I preached, and I prayed for everybody in the building, and she came up, and she grabbed hold of my jacket and said, "Now." And I was so excited because I knew she had faith.
Yes.
And I knew I was in faith. So I asked the Holy Ghost how to do it, because I don't do everything the same way every time.
Yeah.
You got to do God's will, God's way.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
So I asked her. He said, "Well, have her sit in the chair and on the platform, and take off her sock and command the foot to be restored." And I did everything God told me to do, and nothing. So I did it a little bit stronger. Come on now. Then I talked about my friend, the Holy Spirit, because I remember Catherine Coleman doing that, kind of floating across the thing. I tried to work up an anointing, and all I could do was get frustrated. And you could feel the air go out of the building. We had a glorious time. And I remember, I many times have conversations with God, even though I'm not saying anything.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, we're going to talk about this one later. But after I did, everyone was kind of, everyone was discouraged except for the little girl. And she was singing. She was singing to be happy. And I didn't know, she had, that Friday at school, she had told, I think she was like 5 years old at the time, she had told all her little classmates that she was going to walk in Monday with normal feet. Then she forced her parents to buy her normal shoes because she said, "Well, when I get healed on Sunday, the store won't be open. And I need normal shoes." So when she went home that night, the parents said they didn't sleep or wink. Because they wanted to have to, they knew next morning they would have to explain to her why. And to be honest with you, when I saw what I saw, I went out of there discouraged. Now, I was in faith when I prayed at first.
Yeah.
But I walked out going, God taught me a lesson, because the next morning when she came down the stairs, she had two normal feet.
Praise God.
Now, that was 40 years ago. She wore her new shoes. You know what God told me? He said, you were in faith, and she was in faith when you first prayed. But she stayed in faith.
Wow.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Some of you need to hold on to that picture.
Yeah.
You need to hold on to that picture. Yeah. Just because it didn't happen, because it was just because it's delayed, it's not denied.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Everything's perfect in its time. So literally, when you understand God's timing, you understand that there is a season and a time for everything.
Amen.
Yes.
And it's not our time, it's His.
Right.
Yes. There's a set time to favor Zion.
Yes.
You know, you need to, he perfects everything at His time. And we're coming into a timetable that's called the restoration of all things and the fulfillment of every vision. And things are going to begin to quicken. You got to understand that. You know what the enemy does? Is he uses to delay to bring you into hopelessness. You become weary in well-doing. You may still be going through the motions, but you no longer have the expectation. Come on. You may even say the right words, but you no longer have the expectation. And some of you, honestly, don't lose heart. Don't grow weary in doing good.
Amen.
Because we're entering into due season.
Yes. Yes.
Come on, it's a new season. Yes. And it's due season. Yes. And the enemy's after your confidence.
Yes.
Because if he gets your confidence, he gets your reward.
Yes.
See, when I played sports, though, you know, everything is in a rhythm. And one of the things you know as an athlete is you have a particular rhythm. And if you can disrupt rhythm, you disrupt the ability to succeed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the enemy's always trying to disrupt your rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, God's going to begin to bring some stuff back.
Oh, yes.
Now, if you've got your Bibles, a lot of people have heard me preach on some of this, and some of it, I'm going to go a little different direction, but I don't care. You know, all I do is fill up and preach.
Amen.
That's all I do. You know, about a month ago, God gave me a message. I didn't even like the title of it. You know, it's like, Lord, I hate that saying. Wow. He said, I want you to preach it. I said, I don't like it. And I'll tell you, it's one of those things. God gives and takes away.
Yeah.
And I thought, Lord, they, you know, every time I've heard people preach on that, they act like you're a schizo.
Yeah.
You bless and then you cause pain. You heal and then you cause sickness and disease. You do this, you do that. It's like I said, you know, that's not you.
Right.
But he said, I do give and I take away. He said, I give healing, take away sickness and disease.
Amen.
I give joy and take away depression.
Yes.
Come on, I give hope and take away hopelessness.
Amen.
I give vision and take away blindness. I give and I take away. The same anointing that gives takes away.
Amen.
God wants to take away from your life everything that's hindering you.
Amen.
The anointing removes burdens, destroys yokes. Come on.
Amen.
It gets what's off, what shouldn't be on you off of you.
Amen.
And the same anointing heals you.
Amen.
So God says, hey, I'm going to take off of you what you don't need. I'm going to put into you.
Amen.
And God won't just put it in. He'll get you into overflow.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, that's where revival is. Revival is an overflow.
Yes.
And overflow comes out of the presence of God. It's a manifest presence. You can't hang around God and not have too much.
Amen.
Fullness of joy, not just a little bit.
Yeah.
Abundant life, too much life.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere you go, you just ooze God. You don't even have to work it up. You're just flowing, baby. And
yeah.
And sometimes he pops out and you never expect him to.
Yep.
You know, sometimes I prophesy to people don't even know I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And their eyes get real big. Like, how'd you know that? How
yeah.
did you know that? And, you know, I'm just talking, man.
Yeah.
You know. Amen. If I thought about what I'd say, I wouldn't say half of what I said. Under the anointing, there are times the anointing scares me. I don't know about anybody else. Like, oh, boy. That better be you, God. We in trouble. Come on. Because honestly, you get under the influence, you're actually, you're out there, man.
Yeah.
This nation has been under a lid.
Yeah. Yes.
It's been under a lid for at least 5 years. Not only just in the last administration, so I won't get super political, but I am a little political. Because to be honest with you, anytime there's a government that's anti-God, you see it in Israel. Anytime there was an evil king, everyone suffered.
Yeah. Yes.
not just the wicked.
Yeah.
But the righteous hurt too.
Yeah.
God self-sustained them, but they hurt.
Yeah.
The lid is off this right now.
Amen.
The lid, something's changing in the atmosphere.
Yes.
That's why you're seeing a lot of people hungry for God right now. I'm on college campuses a lot, and I'm seeing so many young, especially young men, coming alive. They're coming alive. They're coming alive. And people now that you couldn't talk to God about that, now they want you to. See, they're actually waiting for us to go. Come on. And I remember our first worship song here. It reminds me so much that, you know, when my mother-in-law was about ready to go with Jesus, and my wife was with her, and she began, my wife at first thought she was hallucinating because she grabbed hold of her and began to shake her. And she said for 6 hours straight, she said, I see a multitude in the valley and they can't see the door. Show them the door. I see a multitude in the valley and they can't see the door. Show them the door. And you know, I immediately we started thinking about the door of salvation. That Jesus said, I am the door, the way, you know, the truth, and life. He said, I'm the door of the sheep. The sheep enter through the door.
Amen.
But there are a lot of people out there that can't find the door. Our job is to show them the door. And then I was reading something with one of my favorite people alive in the sports world is Patty Gasso, and she's the coach of the softball team, the Oklahoma Sooners. And years ago, she had just won her third national title, and she was in prayer. And the Lord said, you're doing it all wrong. And she said, I just won a national title. What do you mean I'm doing it all wrong? She said, I never told you to win baseball games. I told you to win souls.
Oh, wow.
And she said, your job is to show them the door.
Yes.
Amen.
The door of salvation.
Amen.
And when I said, I had never heard the second part. When that point going up, I believe it's now, we need to show people the door.
Yes.
They're ready. They're a lot. There's a whole bunch that's ready right now. And we need to love them into the kingdom.
That's right.
Show them a better way. People, when they get around us, they should just be hungry for
That's
what we
it.
Have.
Amen.
They should see a difference.
Yes.
I mean, when the heathen says the Lord has done great things.
Yeah.
I mean, I walk in to my back and they say, here comes the happy preacher.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of preachers, but I'm the happy one.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Amen.
You know? There's something about the joy of the Lord. There's something about people that walk with a different drum beat.
Amen.
That they let their light shine. They don't have to be something they're not. Just be totally who you are.
That's it.
Let your light shine.
Amen.
And watch people come to the light. Your sons and daughters are signs of the light. See, we're in a season now. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, because this is where God has me. All year I ask God, what is my word for the year? And he said, restoration.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to have you preach on restoration from every angle. Every single angle, because God says, I'm restoring.
Hallelujah.
I'm restoring.
Hallelujah.
I'm restoring what the devil has stolen. I'm restoring joy. I'm restoring peace.
Glory.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I'm restoring vision. I'm restoring health. I'm restoring strength.
Praise God.
See, God is restoring this nation right now.
Yes.
That's what the anointing does. It rebuilds ruined cities.
Yes.
Come on now. It restores things back.
Yes.
We're going back to our foundation, the proper foundation.
Hallelujah.
One nation under God. We're coming into a season of tremendous restoration. It's like a country song played backwards. You get your house back. You get your truck back. You get your dogs back. I had one guy come up to me while I was preaching this at the end of the meeting. He said, preacher, I like what you had to say, but do I have to have my three ex-wives back? I said, no, no, I guess that's gone. He said, thank God. But I miss my dogs. See, well, there's going to be a comeback, man. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, therefore repent and return, so your sins may be wiped away, nor that times of refreshing may come from the presence of God. And that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive, until the period of the restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets. We're coming into a season where God is restoring everything.
Yes, yes.
He's restoring the lost kingdom that Adam lost.
Yes.
And the revelation of it. That's why that type of book is important, Jack.
Yes.
You know it. You must be born again to see the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
And see, and it is repentance. People ask me, say, what do you mean by repentance? Repentance, like I've mentioned, you know, my son lives in the penthouse of, like, it's the most expensive property in America.
Wow.
Yeah. And he lives in the penthouse. And, you know, he'll say, Daddy, you know what pent means? It means on top.
Amen.
It means I'm top floor.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
And he said, you know, when people repent, what God's trying to do is move them up.
Yes.
From low thinking to high thinking.
Yes.
It's not always falling and squalling.
So
it's just God's trying to move you up.
Yes.
It's an upward call in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You know, we begin to climb, we begin to see more.
Yes.
So God's bringing us to a new level to see.
Yes.
And see, literally every single time God opens my eyes, I have to repent. And a lot of times it's not because I did anything wrong.
Right.
It's just I don't want to live here anymore. I see something better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on now.
Come on.
I don't have to live here anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have to be a slave. I'm a son. I don't have to live beneath the privileges.
Amen.
God opens your eyes to your inheritance, and all of a sudden you're now able to partake of something.
Yes.
And he's always showing you more.
Yes.
My question is, how much do you want to see? You can settle. Once you settle, that's all you can see. Come on.
That's true.
And you know, I get around people my age, a lot of them want to retire. I just want to retire. I don't know about anybody else.
Amen.
You know, I just keep getting oil changes.
Yeah.
Go on now. I mean, God is adding. He's not deleting anything from me. See, God wants to restore like never before. That's why, you know, he's restoring the tabernacle of David, where it's praise and worship, because when God is enthroned, you can hear from him.
Yes.
And when the glory of God comes in the room, when you see the glory of God, your ears are open for the call.
Amen. Yep.
And it ruins you for anything else but the will of God. God's raised up a radical bunch.
Yes, he is.
Many of us have been through the fire, we've been through the flood. We might as well get to the place of the wealthy place. We might as well get to the place of abundance.
Yes. Yes.
We've already paid a certain amount of price.
Yes.
You know, so why settle for worldliness living? But be honest with you, I ask God, I said, God, well, what's holding people back? And I preached on lack of vision. Restoration of vision last night. But I want to talk about the restoration of the soul.
Come on.
That's what God told me. A lot of people aren't seeing because they need their soul restored.
Yes.
Come
on.
Amen. Psalm 23. Yeah, let's go there. You know, it's a very familiar scripture. I don't care. Because what I find out is the soul is honestly the most important part of you is your spirit, but if your soul's not right, you'll never ever partake of the spirit the way you're supposed to.
Amen. That's right.
And God can show you something, and if your filter's not clean, you misperceive it. So a lot of times our filter's not clean because of disappointment and because of other things. So all of a sudden you filter everything through disappointment, so it's almost impossible to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
I get around people who say you shouldn't get their hopes up, they're going to be disappointed. I said the reason they don't have their hopes up is they're living in disappointment.
Come on. Come on, that's it. That's it.
Because the moment when you we have a sick soul, you don't dream.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on. And many of us have been through traumas, and we need to get healed of the trauma.
Yes. Yes.
Psalm 23, verse 5. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of your enemies. You've anointed my head with fresh oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Then verse 3 says, he restores the soul. That's the beginning of literally going to the overflow.
Yes.
When your soul is restored, when your will and your emotions, come on, get in line. You begin to flow with God. There's a river that begins to flow out of you. You don't have to work up joy. You're just joyful.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, when your soul is restored, you actually like you.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I get around people that one of the biggest problems, they don't like themselves and they're with themselves every day. Then they love their neighbors, they love themselves, and because they hate themselves, they wonder why. Come on. So for God wants you to understand something. The first thing he wants to do in you is introduce you to you so you can love you.
Yes.
Once you meet him, he's trying to introduce you to you. Because
yes.
You really don't know who you are apart from him. Because the only one who can define you is the one that designed you.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
And God designed you on purpose. He knit you together for a purpose.
Yes.
And you're made perfect for the purpose.
Amen.
And some of you need to celebrate your uniqueness.
Yes. Yes.
Instead of feeling trying to be pressured to be like everybody else.
Come on. Yes.
Because once you lose that expression, impression, well, that expression leads to depression.
That's
good. Yeah. So many people, their soul is sick, they're depressed because they don't have the freedom to be exactly who they're called to be. Every one of you is called to be outstanding in your field.
Yeah.
Amen. That's it. What is? You're outstanding. What does that mean? You stand out.
Yeah.
That means you're different.
Yeah.
Come on. I love uniqueness. I love unique people.
Yeah.
I like weird people. I love weird people. The weirder, the better. I do. I like everybody. I mean, it's like, whoa, man, this is fun.
Yeah.
If we all were the same, only one of us would be needed, and it'd be me, so, you know, it should be great. Come on. You may argue about that one, but still. But how many of you understand it's the engrafted word that saves your soul?
Yeah. Yes.
God begins to restore your emotions, take it out. Many times, honestly, you know, I get around people all the time. Again, I think disappointment is huge.
Yeah.
Right.
Because people have been trained to be disappointed.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I can tell you if you're disappointed because you'll ask for what you need, not what you want.
Come on. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Come on.
Yeah.
You don't want to ask God for what you really want because you don't think he'll give it to you. You're living in disappointment, but you know he's good enough to meet your need.
Right. Yeah, that's good
right there. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you're always living beneath the relationship of a son and act as a servant.
Oh, that is good. Yes.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
You delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you. He'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
Now he'll put them in there. You know, I found out God has all sorts of hearts.
Yeah.
Things that matter to you may not matter to me one bit.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends, honestly, I mean, they got these real fancy cars. I could care less about fancy cars. I mean, I don't mean that bad. I like them.
Right.
I'm not going to pay for them. I got rich friends. I can borrow one anytime I want to. But you know, I just want something that gets me there.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like clothing. I've been one of those guys, you know, the only way I know how to dress is going to Dillard's for dress clothes. Look at the dummy with the suit on. He already has, the dummy has the tie, the dummy has the shirt, the dummy has the suit. I said, these are my measurements. Make me look like the dummy. Come on now. So people look at me, hey, you look like a dummy. I said, that's my look. Because I can care less. My wife goes clothes shopping. It's like 7 hours. I go clothes shopping. 7 minutes, baby. That's 6 minutes too long. You know? But everyone has things that you love doing. And God made you that way. You know? I look at my son, I buy his clothes, which really is really bad. I said, son, you ain't not going out looking like that. I said, well, I could put tin can next to you, they'd be dropping dollars in. But he said, Daddy, I could buy the places. I said, why do you look like that? He said, I like to. You know, I still buy him clothes because he's with me. So I buy all his clothes and he still wears the old ones when I'm not around. But that's the way he is now. He just bought a car with 1,000 horsepower. Yeah, it's Tesla, but anyway. But it is. I said, how fast is it? He said, Daddy. He said, you think those roller coasters are fast? I said, how fast have you driven? He said, 170.
Oh, no.
And he said, I was just tapping it. He said, like a rocket engine. You know, he don't care about the clothes. He just likes speed.
Right.
And the good news is he has a card, so if anyone pulls him over, he just shows the card and they say, oh, I'm sorry, sir. But but I don't even understand things that are important. God will give you the desires of your heart. He'll drop things into you maybe no one else would care about.
Come on. Yeah.
But you care about it.
Yeah.
You know, last year, my wife was reading a book by a Christian author, also New York Times best-selling author, and on it, there was this little emblem that said Selah Award. And she looked at that, and she looked over at me. She said, I want one of those.
Yeah.
And Selah is kind of like the Dove Awards for Christian writers. So I said, well, look it up. She looked up at how to apply, and she applied, and this year we just got noticed this last week. We knew she had won an award. She ended up winning first place, which was really awesome. And the poetry thing, but it was based on a poem that she wrote about the young children that died at the Sandy Hook. And it was something that she had written about that right after that to just express. And it just won everything. And, you know, but see, all she had to do is say, Lord, I want.
Yes.
Right. Whatever things you desire when you pray.
Amen.
God puts God desires on the inside of you.
Amen.
It's part of the way. And so many times we are afraid to ask them. That's a soul issue. You know, disappointment is a mess. The Bible says those who trust the Lord shall not be disappointed. It says it for like 4 or 5 times in Scripture. In Psalm 22, I believe it's 22 verse 5. It says those who trust the Lord shall not be disappointed. In 1 Peter 2, 6, it says those who trust the Lord shall not be disappointed. In Romans 10. Right before confessing the Lord with your mouth, it said that if you trust the Lord, you will not be disappointed. God doesn't put words in there because he's getting paid by the word.
Right. Yeah.
He's saying every time you're disappointed, it's because you're not trusting.
Yeah.
You have never been disappointed when you're in the spirit.
Amen.
You're always disappointed in the flesh.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
And the moment you feel disappointment, and all of us will, it's a thing that says, trust me.
Right.
You know, and how many people are saying this? Disappointment will shut doors on your life if you let it rule.
Yes.
You can become bitter.
Yeah. Yes.
You definitely will live small.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll live by what you can do instead of what God can do for you.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes.
I remember years ago, I was in New England, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to befriend such and such a pastor. And he had the largest church in New England. He said, if you'll befriend him, I'll open the door for you to minister there. But there was one problem. I didn't like him. I liked everyone. I liked the gang members in my neighborhood. I mean, they like me. Even when they're carjacking, they'll stop me. Hey, Brother Woody! Don't look! But this guy, he was like the opposite of me. Have you ever been around people and it's like rubbed me the wrong way? Yeah. I'm like a man's man type.
Yeah.
I'm a warrior.
Yeah.
You know, I probably would have liked Esau better than I would have liked. Come on.
Yeah.
Jacob, because honestly, I'd rather be with the hunter than the cook. And this guy, I mean, he was kind of foo-foo. So I said, okay, God, I'll do it because you said to. I did it for 10 years. And I preached there twice a year in the area. So I would always contact him and say, can I take you out to eat? And he'd always take me out to those restaurants. You know what they where they have 7-course meals? And they're like 7 bites. All you do is see the plate. If I see plate, I don't eat there. So, you know. And that went on and on and on. And I just kept saying, Lord, come on. Get me off. Just. This is excruciating. And I took him out one time, and right after that, the next day that he was having John Bevere speak at his church. And I'm friends with John. So Sunday morning, I mean, I was a morning session, and I was preaching that night somewhere else, but I said, I'm going to go up to the morning session. I got up, and they had a minister section in the back, not in the front. So they had all the ministers stand up. And every minister stood up, and he began to acknowledge everyone by name. I had just taken him out to eat the day before. And he looks up at me. He said, Brother, I don't think I know who you are. That pushed my button. How many of you have a button? You know what I'm saying? There's a button. You know, it's my man button. You know, it's like, yeah, okay. How many of you are screaming on the inside at times? It may not come out, but you know you're talking. When I played ball, I looked at one umpire one time, and I said, if you knew what I was saying on the inside, you'd throw me out of the game right now. And I kicked a little dirt on his shoe, so he would. But you know, I'm sitting there, and he said, I don't know who you are. And what went off on the inside of me is I was training 2,500 volunteers at Victor Christian Center.
Yeah.
And this is a big church in New England, but it was like a 1,000-member church. Yeah. Now, which, you know, compared to what I did,
right.
And it was just on the inside, I said, this ain't a big church. He thinks it's a big church. This is not a big church. I don't need this, Lord. And when God speaks to me, he says two words constantly. He says, shut up, and I love you. He lets me know he loves me, but he also lets me know my tongue is going to mess things up.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Don't go there with your attitude. Don't go there.
Yeah.
No, you can be speaking when you're not speaking.
Yeah.
So I used to tell my son, I'd ask him to do something. He'd do it with a toot. I said, put a smile on your face. Willing and obedient. So when he looked at me again, he said, "Brother, I don't know who you are." By that time, the Lord has told me, I was just teaching on those who trust in the Lord shall not be disappointed. And underneath my breath, I said, "God, I don't like this. But you said you work everything together for my good. So somehow this is going to work for me, not against me. Somehow this situation is going to work for me. It's not a good thing. But you're going to work it for good.
Yes.
What the enemy meant for evil.
Yes. Yep.
You'll turn for good."
That's right.
So I said that underneath my breath. And I said, well, I just answered him. I said, "What?" I said, "I'm Woody Woodson." He turned all pale. He said, "Brother, I don't have my contacts on. I'm not seeing very well today from a distance." He said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "Of course I know who you are." Well, after the service, he comes up to me. And because he embarrassed me publicly, he gave me a mercy meeting. He never would have opened the door at the church had he not embarrassed me. He never would have. But he came up and he said, "Brother Winston, can you speak? When's the first time you can speak?" Well, as I got, well, I got an opening later in the week. I had one opening. He said, "Well, we'll do it."
Amen.
And from that moment on, for the next 10 years, I spoke at that church more than anybody else did.
Amen.
And I spoke there with Joyce Meyer. I spoke there with Kim Clement. You know, we had, I mean, it was amazing. We touched thousands of lives. But had I stayed in disappointment, the door would have been shut. And some of you, your disappointment is shutting the door. It's time to trust God to turn it around.
Amen.
See, when one door closes, a better door opens.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
You know that location wise. Come on, the best is yet to come.
Right.
It looks like you've been demoted, but you're about ready to be promoted.
Yes.
See, that's when you begin to have a restored soul. Because a restored soul can begin to praise God when there's no figs on the vine. Worship when there's no calves in the stall. He's giving us feet like hinds' feet.
Yeah.
Your joy is not based on circumstance.
That's right. Come on. That's right. Come on.
And do you know, if we just took a command that says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," that's not a suggestion.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't care how you feel. You tell yourself how you feel.
That's right. Come on. That's right.
We got a touchy-feely generation.
Yeah.
See, in my office, I have this lead pipe. It's my favorite thing because when I counsel people, they come in all the time. I'll never forget that. I'll say, "Well, I just don't feel led. I don't feel led to tithe, but they do feel led to steal." "Well, I just don't feel love for her anymore." Love's a lot more than a feeling. Come on.
Yes.
I don't always love my wife because I made that decision. I don't always like her. We have to work through that at times. Come on, but we made a decision. We're going to love each other.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes.
My wife's perfect. That's what I don't like. I have this perfect woman. And then she married me. So we balance each other out with her perfection and my imperfection. You know, opposites attract, but you need to learn how to begin to flow with God and begin to trust Him that everything's going to work together. Everything's a cause to overflow.
Yes.
You know, how many of you understand that the enemy will throw things to try to get you offended, will try to get you... You know, get you down and depressed and discouraged.
Amen.
And it's just time to shake off those little snake bites.
That's it.
Right.
Amen.
Just walk with God.
Yeah.
And expect breakthrough.
Amen.
Expect miracles.
Yes.
What you expect, you eventually attract.
Amen.
I always tell people, you know, people look at me and say, "It seems like everywhere you go, things turn around." I said, "That's right. I'm carrying it."
Amen.
You know? And a lot of times what happens is when you, when your soul is right, you can look into the souls of others.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. I remember years ago I was at Reese's, and and it's actually how I became the chaplain there for a while. And that's a grocery store chain in Oklahoma. And I was going through the line, and I was in a hurry because I'm always in a hurry because I grew up in New York. My excuse on everything is I grew up in New York. I'm not rude, I'm a New Yorker. I'm not impatient, I just grew up in New York. You know, I mean, you know, if you grew up in upstate, you can't say that. New York City, you can say it. Because you don't survive. You don't survive unless you're tough as nails. But I remember going through this thing, I'm in a hurry, and the Lord said, I want you to stop, right? He stopped me right on my tracks. I just paid for something. I look back, and I'm watching this lady in the normal line trying to pay for groceries, and I look on her face, and I say, see, the same look I used to have. And you know, sometimes God will give you flashbacks.
Yes. Yes.
It's flashbacks of things that were painful at that time.
Yes.
Because honestly, what you go, what you've been through is going to help you help others.
Amen. Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
And I looked and I saw that look on her face. And I heard the Lord say, what are you going to do about it? And I saw her, she was, you know, because I did the grocery shopping the first 5 years of our marriage because we didn't have a credit card. We had no credit. And we never knew when we'd have to put stuff back. Yeah. And my wife, it was so embarrassing for her. I didn't love it. Yeah. But she, she sent me. And so I hated it when I had to put things back. Well, I looked, and she's about getting ready to pay, and they gave her the total, and she started putting my items back. So I walked over there, and I said, ma'am, and I looked at them. I looked at the person. I said, I'm paying for the groceries. She said, you don't have to pay. I have everything I need except a couple of items. I said, no, I'm paying for it. Because God told me, if you'll help others where from where you were, you'll never have to go back there.
Amen. So good.
So, and you got to understand, up until that time, everyone in the store knew I was a Christian. Almost everyone. I'm very vocal.
Yeah.
And everybody knew. But they couldn't care less. But once they started seeing me on a regular basis paying for people's groceries, I would actually go in there and not even need an item. I'd just be looking. And sometimes I'd give them a nod because I didn't even want to make that change. And they knew, just put it on my tab. And they'll say, hey, this is paid for. But all of a sudden, these people working there began to come up to me, and they weren't hitting on me in terms of for finances, but they would say, you know, my son has cancer. Will you pray for him? I have a daughter that's on drugs. And they began to open up, so I began to minister to the people there. See, they could care less that I was a minister until they saw it was real.
Yeah, that's right.
See, when you have the right soul, you walk in the love of God.
Yes.
Compassion is a feeling, and you're moved with it.
Yes.
It moves you. It moves you to action. Faith works by love. Yes. Faith has that love causes faith to act.
Yes.
You know, it causes you to move and do things you normally wouldn't do. It gets you out of selfishness.
Yeah, that's true.
So they begin to do that. Well, next thing I know, I get a phone call. And it's Mr. Reeser, who owns the Reeser, all the stores. And he said, I heard you've been ministering to my people. I said, yes, sir, I have. He said, I've got 16 stores. And he said, I got a lot of hurting people. He said, if I can send them to the store nearest you and you're in town, will you spend some time trying to help them?
Amen.
I said, yes, sir, I will. And that's how I became the chaplain Now they just sold it to another company, but I still have a lot of impact.
Amen.
But it starts with a healed soul.
Yes.
It starts with the overflow.
Yes.
Of compassion.
Yes.
See, we're about ready to have revival, and the revival's overflow. It says the Jordan will overflow its bank all the days of harvest, which means, honestly, out of our belly will flow rivers.
Yes.
Come on, it's one thing to have the well, but the well doesn't impact anybody but you. But the river impacts everybody.
Yes.
Come on now. And God wants to get you back into that flow.
Yes.
And that flow comes from a healthy soul.
Yes.
You're become bold in your soul. That's
yes.
where your confidence is.
Yes. Amen.
Your spirit doesn't need confidence. Your spirit man's already like Jesus.
Yep. Amen.
And your flesh wants to run the wrong way.
Yeah.
And the only thing that determines how you're going to go is your soul. Because where the mind goes, the man follows. And what I've done is I want to see God begin to restore dreams, restore visions, restore the dreamer in people.
Amen.
I want to see, like never before, compassion flowing.
Hallelujah.
And many of you, all you got to do is look, whatever God's done for you, He can do through you.
Right. Yes. Amen.
You know, I was talking to my son out there, and God planted them out in Google. Google's probably the most liberal company in the world. At least it was. It's changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's changing for the better, thank God. But I asked him, I said, how many employees have you seen born again? He said, 1,500. He said, Daddy, he said, will you go to our church? He said, we actually have 1,500 Google employees going to my church now.
Hallelujah.
Every Sunday. Including the second in command.
That's awesome.
He said, it's moving, Daddy. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving.
Yeah.
He said, people's eyes are being opened to things. And, you know, he said, God, he told me, I'm not afraid to be in dark places because I'm a light.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, amen.
So he said, they can put me in the darkest place, but we'll take over. The light always takes over.
Yeah.
Because the light overcomes darkness.
Yes.
Good
yes.
overcomes evil. Come on now.
Yes.
When you have a healthy soul, you begin to flow in God. And that river, everywhere that river goes, they'll live and not die.
Yes.
And there'll be many kinds of fish.
Yes.
You know, where I am, we're reaching the gang members.
Hallelujah.
And you know, a couple of years ago, I was looking, and about 3 or 4 years ago, I'm looking across the street, and I'm watching, and even policemen don't go in certain areas where our church is. They thought we're crazy. We probably are a little. One day, you know, I had my little judgmental thing. A judgmental soul is not a healed soul. Because you can never reach something you've already judged.
That's good.
There's only one judge, and you're not it.
Wow.
Now you can judge actions. You need to judge right and wrong, but you don't judge people. Because you don't know why they're doing wrong. You don't know what the root is. You don't understand what they've been through. You don't understand what type of survival mode they are in. And if you begin to judge them from where you are. Some of you need to remember where you were when God found you.
Yes.
So I was looking, and all of a sudden I just started sensing this compassion. And I said, we can either make this place better, or we can just allow it to be corrupted. But we're the light and we're the salt, and salt is supposed to stop corruption.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm going to have to mix with some dirt.
Yeah.
We started mixing with dirt.
Yeah.
And not yet. Yeah, we feed 3,000 families a week where we're at.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
We have a dental clinic. We have a medical clinic.
Jesus.
We have a single mom's car clinic once a month.
Praise God.
That's great.
We're starting a trade school.
So great. Thank you, Jesus.
And even the gang members that don't, you know, they all love us regardless.
Yeah.
They do. They're scared of us. They're more scared of me than I am of them. Because it's the fear of the God that's on the inside of me. Because honestly, what they're afraid of is they'll have to change. And the very thing that they fear will come upon them because they're going to change. Come on now. So, you know, but you know, many times they've protected our property. We don't even... I don't have to have security. I got the gangs. I mean, they basically say, you touch that property, you go out of the body bag. So I can't get them all sanctified. We actually feed, and during Christmas, we give Christmas to them, their kids, while they're in prison.
Yeah, amen.
We just start caring.
Yeah.
What would happen if the church ever got soul healed?
Yes.
Where we'd be moved with compassion. You don't have to be moved in every area, but you need to be moved in yours.
Yes.
When I was a youth pastor, I didn't know anyone else existed but youth.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want children. In terms of little children, I mean, I liked them, but I did not want to minister to them. They scared me. And adults were boring. So all I wanted was, you know, the 12 through about the 21, 22-year-olds. Those were my babies. And there was such a love and such a compassion, and that's why we reach thousands of teens.
Amen.
Well, what would happen if we ever got our soul healed?
Yeah.
And God's going to touch you. He's going to take the hurts out. He wants to heal the broken hearts. He wants to heal the disappointments. He wants to heal you of the wounds. He wants to heal you. See, a lot of people are victimized in their soul. They stay a victim in the rest of their life because they've never gotten their soul healed.
Yeah.
They complain out of the bitterness of their soul. You know, a lot of Christians, they speak whinese. They're always whining. They're always whining. They do it fluently. You know? But you know, when your heart's full of God, you can't help but praise.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When your heart's full of thankfulness.
Yes.
When you don't consider what you don't have, you begin to think of what you do have.
Yes.
Come on, because what the enemy always wants to show you is what you don't have.
Yep.
And be honest with what you don't have, sometimes you just don't have it yet.
Right. Yeah.
Come on, it's on its way.
Amen.
And if you believed it was on its way, you'd be celebrating.
Yeah. Yes.
Come on. This place, if you're about ready to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, God's restoring His glory over this area like a canopy.
Amen.
We're going to begin to walk in things we never imagined.
Yes.
We're in a time frame of the fulfillment of every vision, things God gave us years ago. You always tell me, he says, it's not too late. The deal's still on.
Amen.
I remember someone asked Franklin Lloyd Wright when he was 84 years old. They said, what is the greatest building you ever designed? He's a great architect. He said, my next one.
Amen. Amen.
See, a lot of times, you know, even Joshua and Caleb, you know, their soul was damaged. The reason I know that is when Moses died, they were still frozen. God had to say, hey, my servant Moses is dead, now you arise.
Yeah.
See, what happens is when your soul's not right, you don't move forward.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's so true.
And then you try to protect yourself. The more you protect yourself, the more you build a wall between you and God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So true.
Many of you, you've spent most of your life trying, and I've been guilty of this because I'm a pretty tough guy, so I tend to tough it out instead of trust it out.
Oh, come on. Yeah. That's good.
When I tough it out, I'm still carrying it.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm tough enough to handle this. I'm tough enough to handle this. I'm tough enough to handle this. And year after year, weights are piled on me. You got to throw off the sins and the weights in order to run the race.
Yes.
You have to transfer to the hands of God. That's where it comes with trusting the Lord. You put it in His hands.
Yeah.
Even when I lift the weights off of people, I don't hold them.
Right.
I give them to God.
Yeah.
You know, even when I forgive somebody, all I do is put people in the hands of God. I say, God, from my account, I'm not holding anything against them. This is between you and them. But I release them.
Yeah.
And when you get that, you all of a sudden you're freed up.
Yes.
And God wants to free you up. He wants to anoint your head with fresh oil.
Glory.
Fresh oil.
Glory.
Fresh oil. He wants a clean slate, man.
Yes.
He wants you to know you're clean.
Yes.
See, if the filter's off, you're misperceiving what God's trying to show you. I know when people's filters off, God will show them a huge vision, and they shrink it down to their level.
Yeah.
He told Moses, see to it you build according to the pattern received on the mountaintop.
Right. Yeah.
God told me years ago, don't shrink the people. Don't shrink the vision, grow the people. Something's about ready to take place in your life. God wants to heal all of us up. You know, He wants us every whit whole, every whit whole, every whit whole. You know, physically whole.
I'll
be honest with you, if your soul is out of gear, your body eventually will be. Because stress. It get all over you, and all of a sudden these symptoms begin to occur because your soul is out of place.
Yeah.
That's why it says that he wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers.
Yeah.
A prosperous soul. See, well, I can give every one of you, I can't, as I give every one of you $1 million a year. I hate to say it, but You're pretty close to writing that. But anyway, you know. But even if I did that, most of you, you'll go back to the picture on the inside before long. That's why you can give. People can win the lottery and they're broke. Don't take them long because until the picture on the inside changes, nothing changes. You may have a temporary relief, but you still got the same problem because you had a sick soul.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yes.
See, and you know, God, I always tell people when they have sick bodies, first thing they need to do is see themselves well.
Yes.
See yourself operating.
Yes.
See yourself walking. We had a guy come out in January of a wheelchair in our church. He'd been in it for 5 years. And I started working with him 6 months ago, and I said, we got to change the picture on the inside because right now you have determined that you're going to live in this wheelchair the rest of your life. And you're agreeing. The doctor said that. And without a change of the picture, that's where you're living.
Yeah.
So we're going to change the picture.
Yeah.
So I gave him things to meditate on. And I said, at first, it's going to be way out there for you. But I said, you keep meditating, all of a sudden it'll become your new reality. And in January of this year, during one of our services, he just decided to get up and walk.
Amen.
And he's been out of that chair ever since.
Hallelujah.
Because all of a sudden, he realized, you know, hey, I don't have to be in this chair anymore.
Amen.
Come on. But many times, it takes a while for a meditation to change the picture. And there's a download from heaven for an upgrade on earth. And some of you, honestly, God just trying to change the picture on the inside where you can see more and more. I don't know about you, but this year God is stretching me in every direction.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm living Isaiah 54, stretch out the cords. And I wasn't planning on it.
Right.
I was planning on doing a little bit. You know? Because I'm in a position I can't, yeah, I can do whatever I want to in the natural. I'm still God's. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'll let someone else do it. And you know, what God keeps doing is showing me stuff. Every time he shows me stuff, it's stuff I have to participate in. So we started training leaders in college revival things, and there are student-led revivals. See, we're behind the scenes training people so that when we leave, it continues on. It's not based on a man. It's based on the, you know, on the people on the inside. It's like training missionaries that actually live in the country. Come on. It's the best thing you can do. I can draw a crowd by coming. I can't keep the crowd. Because I'm not going to stay there.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's good.
But when you disciple people, when you reproduce people.
Yes.
Years ago, my son said, came up to me and said, Daddy, you know what you are? And you know, I didn't know if I wanted to hear a teenager tell me what I am. I said, okay, what am I? And use words I can understand, because sometimes he uses terminology. But he said, Daddy, you're a dream coach. He said, you make everyone else's dreams come true. He said, I've watched you. And, you know, and the moment he said that, I thought, that's my whole mission in life.
Yeah.
My whole mission in life is to activate people.
Yeah.
My whole mission in life is to get people into their giftings and give them the freedom to be fully who they are.
Yeah.
Not because who they really are world impactors.
Yeah.
And when they get on the same page as God already wrote in their book, they may begin to make history.
Hallelujah.
You become a history maker and you begin to impact everywhere you go.
Amen.
At this season of my life, it's all about legacy.
Amen.
It is. Because I want everything to outlive me. I recently, it was so neat. I had two things happen when I was in Buffalo, New York. I was in a healing meeting. I had this one guy come up to me. Well, actually, I had three. One was funny. This lady came up to me. And I had prayed for her the year before. She was so skinny. Now she's like 150 pounds heavier. So she came up to me. She said, remember me? You prayed for me, and this is your fault. He said, you prayed that God would heal my chocolate allergy. Well, he did. And so I said, so now you want me to pray for self-control, right? But then I had this other guy come up to me. And he was about 100 pounds heavier than when I prayed 7 years ago, but he was skin and bone 7 years ago. And he said, do you remember me? And he said, I was in stage 4 cancer. He said, I was given less than 3 months to live. He said, I was just bones.
Jesus.
And he said, you prayed for me, and look at me now.
I am. Glory.
And there were some residue things we were still praying about, but no cancer.
Amen. Praise God.
But no cancer.
Hallelujah.
And the same day, I got a video from an 18-year-old boy in Pennsylvania. And I prayed for him. He had the rarest form of leukemia at age 2. No one had ever been in remission. It's been written up in the Harvard Medical Journal. And we prayed for 5 years. He was supposed to die every month, according to doctors. No hope. They were using experimental things on him. And they just said, you know. And somehow at the end of 5 years, and we just stood in faith, kept it. And the parents, I actually had prophesied over him that him and his older brother would be best friends and they would grow old together. That was right before he was diagnosed with the cancer. And that picture, his mom said that picture helped him to fight.
Amen.
Because I said, we pictured them growing old together.
Yeah.
And he said, we knew all the healing scriptures, but we needed the picture.
Yeah.
We needed the picture.
Yes.
And, you know, when he was 7 years old, all of a sudden they would take it every time before they transferred to drain all the blood out of his body and put new blood in. They would take a little bit of blood first, and when they took the little blood sample, it was normal.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And doctors walked in and said, this is an abnormality, but we're not going to do anything until next month. And the next month it was normal. And next month it was normal.
Glory. Yes. Hallelujah.
And that was 11 years ago. Well, when he sent me the thing, he had just set the school record for cross country. So he actually sent me the cross country meet of him running.
Glory.
And say, and he said, Woody, he said, this is your legacy.
Amen. Glory.
He said, I know Jesus healed me, but he used you.
Yes.
So this is your legacy.
Amen.
I want to be part of people's legacy.
Yes.
You know, how many of you want to make a difference in life?
Yes.
How many of you say, hey, how many of you have areas of your life, God's healed my soul? I don't know about you. There are moments I deal almost daily with some things. Last thing, and I'm going to pray for you. This may help somebody too. But years ago, I had very close relatives steal six figures from us.
Wow.
And it was hard.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, God wouldn't let me ditch the relationship. So I had to always be around. So every time, you know, up until that time, there were no financial pressures. As soon as that happened, every single month when I was under pressure. How many of you ever forgive people and then the pressure hits?
Yeah.
And he said, God, I put me in your hands again. I forgive them again.
Yeah.
Because in the first thought, I wouldn't be under this pressure had this person not. And that went on for a long time, and God said, just keep them in my hands.
Yeah.
And eventually, the sting of that memory went out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I began to claim a sevenfold return.
Yes.
And I look back today, you know, and it's so funny because today, it's been more than a sevenfold return.
Amen.
And it's come back on every wave, but it took like 20 years to have to come back. But I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I kept the filter clean.
Amen.
So God could get things to me.
Yes.
Come on now.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of you need to get the filter cleaned.
Yeah.
I want to pray for people today. How many of you, honestly, you want an abundant soul? You want your soul healed? You want to begin to dream like you've never dreamed before? Because we're in a dream season. Some of you, honestly, you need to leave some disappointment at the altar.
Yeah.
And just say, God, I trust you. I don't have to understand everything.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
I know people that have been in situations where, honestly, people say, why did this happen? I don't know. But I'm not going to trust. I am never going to question the goodness of God. So I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I don't have to understand. I just have to trust.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't have to have all the answers. I just know the one that does.
Yes.
And whatever he chooses to reveal to me, I'm going to go with.
Yes.
Other than that, I just trust his goodness.
Hallelujah.
But if you want your soul over, or you need your body healed, sometimes God wants to change the picture on the inside. Some of you, if you need a financial breakthrough, sometimes God has to change the picture on the inside.
Yes. Yes.
Because we've been so programmed to settle for the crumbs under the table.
Yep.
I deal with people all the time. Now I deal with the very poor and I deal with the richest of the rich.
Hallelujah.
And to be honest with you, I'm always dealing with areas of the soul. And I am trying to get people, and every one of us has a poor soul in some area. I mean, we're really good over here. We get over there. And we know the scripture, but the light's not turned on. We need the light turned on. Come on, and that's not condemnation. It's just, it should almost be that, God, I'm pressing in until you change the picture.
Yes.
You know, I can do things today. I'm living today what I saw 30 years ago.
Hallelujah.
I'm living my dream of 30 years ago. I just got a new dream now.
Right.
Hallelujah.
This is my new norm. I don't want to stay norm.
Amen.
Come on now. And almost everything I do now is for others.
Yeah.
You know? Even when you hang, when people get his offering, I said, everything I take in, I give out.
Hallelujah.
I always wanted to do that. Brother Copeland heard talk about that. He started years ago. I'm a slow learner. I'm there now. It's freedom.
Yes.
So I don't have to worry about offending you because I don't really care. I love you enough to tell you the truth, but I really don't care, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if you offend them, they may not give anything. That's their loss, not mine.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Because God will get to me and God will get through me.
Yes. Yes.
But if you want prayer, if you need healing, if you need your soul healed, if you just want, man, you just want to be lit up, come on up. I want to pray for some people right now. Some of you, the creative juices are going to begin to flow. You know, come on.